You're going to hit the same flavors all the time, dude. Mexicans like the same shit.
Yeah. Jim Lemon, Gaffigan had salt. A bit about that where he worked at a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. Welcome to the PC.
Do you want to start over?
I tried to do too many things at once. I was trying to mute the volume on one of the channels because it's doubling over in the YouTube video. By the way, this is the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I will... Bobby will never let us take a second chance, ever, no matter what happens.
No, we don't do second takes on the intro.
We had a caster a long time ago. We all mentioned him. His name was Jimmy. He got ran over right as we started. Bobby said, roll with it.
Yep.
He got pulled for graphic content.
Okay. So we had, I apologize to people, by the way, who downloaded last week's episode and found it to be a little different than some of the other episodes. Somehow, some way, the episode got pitched down in post, and I have no idea how that happened. I quickly corrected that and re-uploaded it, but if you downloaded it in the first couple hours that it was out, then you probably got that version. Plus, I don't know if Spotify refreshes its cache or how that works. Spotify and a few other places that we send it to, so I don't know if it got refreshed there as well.
I don't know, man. Us having the demonic voices on the same episode, you were talking about The Exorcist so much. A little weird. Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? You didn't notice it that much on your voice, but you really did on my voice.
You were the one talking about The Exorcist, bro.
That's true, yeah. But that wasn't until the end of the show. All right. And that was a good episode, too. I feel bad that one kind of got botched.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today, by the way.
Major Muchacho sent me a message. He was the first one to report the error, and he's like, I got super baked and I started hearing Bobby Bean demonic. And he's like, am I fucking way higher than I think I am? Or is our audio off? Well,
because it was like an octave, maybe two. It wasn't that much, but it was enough to where you're just like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Someone messaged me on Discord and I was just like, oh God, I don't know. And then I went back and listened to it and I'm like, please don't be in the original recording. And then I checked that and it wasn't, so I was able to fix it.
Weird, man.
Yep. All right. Good times. But yeah, like I said, we got a lot to talk about this episode. A lot of announcements have been happening. There was the PC gaming show that happened just yesterday on Saturday.
Yep.
And I had a chance to watch all of that and a lot of games we already knew about, but we got to see more of them, some fresh announcements, and we're just going to go through the ones that, that we like.
Yeah. Sure.
I figure we should get this out of the way. I am in the wrong location on the show notes, so I just kind of jumped to this. But let's roll with it.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was a tough week for me, man. I didn't play anything until today. Today was my only day to play.
Wow, busy week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the game that I chose to play, Torchlight 3, which I've been waiting for, doesn't work. It doesn't work very well at all. It has been review bombed to all hell. It's like mostly negative. I think it's sitting at like 35% right now.
Is this on Steam?
It's on Steam. Yeah, it's $30. You can play it. It's hard though. You get a lot of crashes, a lot of cannot connect because there's no offline mode right now. It's only the multiplayer mode. It's in early access, so that gives them a little bit of leeway, but man, it's getting hit hard. I did get to play it for probably actually playing, not fighting with the servers, probably 2 hours. And it's fun. You know, it's a Torchlight game. It's beautiful. It's definitely the best looking one ever. They have four classes. You got your rail splitter, who I played through the first two. He's like an engineer. He looks like a barbarian, but he's more like an engineer that uses like two-handed, like heavy weapons. And then there's like this steam-powered robot who I didn't play, but looks very cool. Like you don't even know what that class does. You're just guessing. You really don't. Because in this game, any character can use any weapon at any time. Mm. So you really don't get pigeonholed into what you're doing. So I picked a mage and I went from using like a double-handed broadsword to a sword and board to a shield and a pistol. And then I went to finally a focus that makes my magic stronger and a pistol, which is working pretty well for me right now. But I'm just going with whatever's best. Let me bring up my notes. It's got a lot of things going on for it. If I wish it would work, because I'd definitely be playing it more. The lighting is fantastic. When you know, the spell effects and just the glow that comes off of the magic and the fire is really cool. Expanded pet usage. So Torchlight's always been known for their pet. It was in part one, you could load it up with, it was like a secondary inventory, and you could send them back to town and he would sell everything for you and then come back, but you wouldn't have him for like 2 minutes. Right. And he would, I think at that point he would attack a little bit, but not until Torchlight 2, you could equip him with equipment. And, like, he would have his own armor and stuff, a little bit. And then on this one, they've got even further. He has a, your pet has, like, a spell that it casts. Maybe, like, it's an aura or some, maybe every 30 seconds it casts a heal or stuff like that. So, and then after every boss, they drop, like a new pet drops. And this new pet has a new spell. So, you eventually get a stable of pets, and you could pick which one. I'm sure in late game you can probably build around, or being, it would complement a certain build the right way. And your stable of pets you put in your fort, which is your personal area in the game that you build and decorate and make for yourself. It's cool because it's like a little town that you built, so you know where everything is. You can set it up so it's very, you know, easy to get to everywhere you need to get. You just get there, you do everything you need to go, and you go back out on an adventure. They did this tricky thing where other adventurers, when they're going from between levels, they might stop at your fort. And if they go in and use your stuff, you get bonuses as well as they do. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to go back to your fort. Let's say you're just going to the next level, whatever. You'll stop there. You can go use my enchanting table. And if you use my enchanting table, you get access to all of my enchantments that I've unlocked. And if you do that, then I get some sort of credit on my fort or whatever. Or engineering blueprints. You get to use all the ones that I've unlocked if you happen to stop by my place.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I guess there's something in the algorithm where the more you've worked on your fort, the higher the probability that somebody, you'll have an encounter like that. You know what I mean? I went to somebody else's fort and I was like, what? Why is this person in my fort? But I didn't realize that I was in his fort. And I was like, because everything was there, but it was in different places. Anyway, I kept getting dropped, dude. It was super annoying, but even the numbers are not done right. Like, the damages are wildly inconsistent. I had a two-handed like greatsword, just green con level 5, right? One hit killing everything pretty much except for bosses. Then I switched to sword and board. It took 30 hits with something of the same level, same like rarity. Just like 30 hits whacking like a regular mob. And I said, like, that doesn't make any sense. It should be like 2 or 3 at the worst. Then I got to a certain boss, he one-shot me. And he was my level. And it was just like, that doesn't make any sense either. So I think, you know, a lot of balancing needs to happen. Apparently they're saying that the servers are suffering because they didn't expect this many sales. But that's always the case. Yeah, but fuck, dude. Really? You want to pay for one additional month on your opening? I don't know.
So no stats on player data on Steam Spy or whoever counts this.
Weird, right? Maybe because it's early access? No, I don't know.
Well, usually when the game first comes out, it needs to be out for at least a week before they can start telling you how many people are playing the game.
So on the downside, and then there's also relics that you can unlock. Relics are kind of like a slot that you put in your character, and it has its own leveling up system other than yours. And how do you explain it? It has its own. So I went with Bloodseeker, right? So I get all the Bloodseeker abilities, but I have to unlock, I have to level that up. So it's almost like another character inside of my character, and that opens up a lot of customability between the different characters. So yes, because there's like 8 of those on top of the 4 characters that can split a bunch of different ways. Like, you can, they don't pigeonhole you at all. You can do basically whatever you want. You could play a melee mage, which is what I was doing for a little while, you know? You could do whatever you want. There's no there's no set parameters, which is always great. The game looks great. It's in early access, so you give it a little bit of leeway, right? But server issues is hard. They should have done a stress test first. Maybe that costs more than I know.
Well, it looks like a lot of the negative reviews have to do with those server issues, and also a lot of people saying the game feels like a mobile game, and so, it's very dumbed down.
So there's a little bit of that, right? So this was originally supposed to be called Torchlight Frontiers, and I believe they were going for a full, like a multi-platform, free-to-play game. Like, you could play on your phone, you could play on the console, you could play on your computer. It's free-to-play. You could take, you know, all this stuff. And you can tell that the remnants of that game are in this game. But I don't think that it's bad. Actually, it might even be good things. You know, if they had a certain direction that they were going and thought up certain things for that direction, and then at the last minute, which is what they did, like December, they decided to fucking just turn and make it a $30 premium game without any of that, like, 8 currencies and all that stuff. Maybe some of the thought that went into one way will actually benefit the other thing. And in that, so they were thinking of, like, they were going to have a goblin area, and then in Frontiers, and you go in the goblin area and you get goblin armor and you deck yourself out with all goblin stuff, right? That's out of the game now. But when you kill goblins, you get little pieces of their armor and you have a little goblin fort. Forge in your fort, so you can go back and actually make the stuff that was made for the other game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but I think I understand.
Yeah, they're like, while we have all this stuff that we made, we might as well use it.
They're trying to repurpose
it. Yeah, for sure. And it might end up being something cool. I wish I could play it for more than 15 minutes at a time, and I would tell you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It just seems like the game kind of came out too early. They just weren't prepared.
I would say there was probably a 30-minute session where, like, I got warmed up, I got in the groove, and everything was feeling good. It was all copacetic, and I was like, yeah, I'm having a good time now. And then, you know, another crash. A lot of the crashes came when you switch zones. Oh, the loading screens are pretty horrendous right now, too.
Yeah, well, all that will be worked out in time, but hopefully some of the deeper issues with the game and the actual gameplay will be corrected as well. All right, I've got two things to talk about this week, one very good, one very bad. Which one do you want first?
The very good. You said two games? Two things.
Yeah, two things.
Yeah.
A game and a book.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start with Return of the Obra Dinn. I finally played it a few years late on this one. This game came out in 2018. This was by Lucas Pope, the guy who made Papers, Please. So, you know, it's a good game. And when this game came out, it got stellar reviews. Even on Steam, I'm looking right here, and it says overwhelmingly positive, which is rare, both in recent and all reviews. You've probably seen this game. It's got a very unique art style, kind of an old computer screen type of look where everything's monochromatic, and it's... you can change the colors of it, but everything's pretty much black and white, and it is kind of difficult to discern things.
Well, you can change the color?
What do you mean? Can change the colors.
So the black would be purple or whatever?
Yeah, like a green one. And in the settings, it's like you can change it to like a Macintosh or like an IBM or something, you know, old computers of the day. So it's meant for that type of style.
It looks like a dot matrix. That's what I always say. Mm-hmm. Like, just like the whole thing's made out of a bunch of dots.
Yeah, I think the art style, they call it dithered a lot. Like, it's kind of that dotted look. But the game is, it is a great game. And I knew this going into it, but then again, everyone was saying Kentucky Route Zero was a great game. And this is an undeniably great game, though. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, last week we talked about, maybe I wasn't in the mood for Kentucky Route Zero. This game doesn't care what mood you're in. It's going to hook you right away.
What? How much did you pay for it?
I got it on... How much is this game?
I've seen it as low as $13, I think, or $12.
It's on sale right now for $15 at GOG.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's DRM free. That's where I bought it. Actually, if a game is available on there and Steam, I kind of go for GOG more often now. Regularly $20. It's totally worth it. The only problem with this game is, like, I'll get the bad part of it out of the way right at the front. There's no replayability. Okay. You know, like most puzzle games, once you solve them, they don't. You could come back to it maybe in 10 years if you've forgotten enough of it and enjoy it again, I suppose. But I don't think this is not an easy game to forget, because what you're doing is essentially playing guess who. You're trying to figure out who these people are, how they died, and who killed them, if they were killed by somebody or something. But the way you do this is very interesting. So you play an inspector who works for an insurance company. A boat just drifted into town. It's been missing for 5 years. So you've been sent to go onto the boat, and you're basically doing an insurance adjustment, which is, you know, sounds kind of lame, but I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, yeah. So you go on there and you try to figure out what happened so you can properly adjust how much money you need to, the insurance company needs to pay out. And now, by doing this, go ahead.
Now, scenes get played out in front of you. Is that supernatural, or like you can see the things that happened in the past, right?
Yeah.
On the boat. Is that supernatural, or are you just that smart that you're kind of
No. That you get this odd device, this little compass with a skull in it, and anytime you see a dead body, you can use it on that, and you can see the last moment of that body's life, that person's life. And it's not actually a scene that plays out. It's just an image that you see. Everything's frozen.
Oh, cool.
Time is stopped. So you'll see like a gun blast shooting through the air. And you'll see things just like frozen in time, but you also have a little blip of audio sometimes. So what you're trying to do is you basically go through all the bodies and you figure out what happened, and the story is delivered in this nonlinear structure. So you may check this body and like, oh, this happened in chapter 4, scene 3. And you write it down in your little book, you make some notes, and then you find something else that happened like right after it or later. And sometimes it's really easy to determine who the people are, because a person may call out a name, and just based on looking at the scene and hearing the conversation, you can say, okay, well, that guy's obviously Charlie right there.
So interesting, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's when it's easy.
Question.
Yeah.
If you put something, this obviously happened at the beginning, this obviously happened at the end, but then later on you realize that you fucked that up and that part of
the end. Write down in a book, you have like 10 chapters, and every time you watch a moment, you write down where that happens exactly. So you know what part of the story.
Oh, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
It categorizes it for you. Okay.
But you start with the very end, actually. You start with the very end, and then you kind of jump around all over until you fill in all the gaps.
So cool, man.
Yeah. And it's not just, what's really rewarding about this is you really have to think and use your brain and look with your eyes and listen with your ears. So sometimes it could be as easy as someone calling out someone's name. And it's like, okay, that's a woman's voice or that's a woman's name. But you also have a list of the people that were on the ship and where they're from. So this guy was French. This guy was Italian. These guys are from India or something. So you can like pick apart like an accent.
Right.
So you really have to use your ear. Not only that, but you use your eyes. So you may notice in the scene, oh, this guy was walking out of the first mate's cabin. He's probably the first mate. Or this guy's dressed kind of nice. He's not a top man. You know, he would be wearing like kind of grungier clothes if he were a top man or a seaman. You can go through the catalog and see everybody's position, what rank they had there. And so you really feel like you're figuring this out on your own. And because of that, it's not very difficult. It is challenging. Eventually you figure out when you get three things right, when you guess three things right, this person died this way by the hand of this person, then once you get three of those correct, it locks those in place and it confirms that, yep, you got these ones right. And it takes those out of the pool of people that you have to guess who it is. So as you go through the game, it gets a little easier, but the puzzles get a little harder to figure out. There were like two or three in particular that were very challenging.
But was it satisfying when you figured it out? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. And you just keep going through the scenes and then all of a sudden you notice something that you didn't notice before. And even though you may be witnessing, okay, this is the part where this guy died. What if I go to the top deck and I look at what was going on up there and what this guy happened to be doing at
connections
the moment
between the scenes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. So let's say you have to go back to a scene. It's available as many times as you want.
Yeah, you can go back and forth as much as you want.
Okay.
Yeah, and And once you piece the entire story together, it's not like the most amazing story. The really fun part is just the way you uncover the story. And that's really what I'm finding with games like, you know, Sam Barlow's games, Telling Lies and Her Story.
Yeah.
You know, games that I think really do a good job of incorporating story into the mechanics of the game. This is the way they do it. The story is there. The mechanics of the game is how you uncover the story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's extremely rewarding to do that.
Because while you were talking, I was like, oh, wow, I wonder if they could do this in a movie. But they really couldn't, because you'd have to go back and try to make these connections. And if this means this, then, you know what I mean?
If you did a mystery like that, maybe. So, I mean, a couple movies come to mind. There was one in the 80s, I can't remember what it was, where they did the whole backwards thing.
Right.
I've been watching a lot of Siskel and Ebert reviews, and they mentioned it in that. But the one I always remember is Memento. Right,
yeah, yeah.
Where they start at the end and they go to the beginning. And that's interesting because each scene, the audience knows more than the character progressively until you get to the end and things kind of lock in place. And, oh, wow. I haven't seen Memento in like 15 years. I don't know if it's good. I remember watching it at first and being like, whoa, you know.
It blew a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It gets mentioned all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it did. It used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, not so much
like Memento. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like one of those things, like a touchstone that people always bring up. But this game is something that I would feel confident recommending to anybody. I would recommend it to you, even though you don't really like puzzle games or like really story heavy games. Like, this is just a good game. It took me about 10 hours to beat it. That's on howlongtobeat.com. It said like 8 to 10 hours. So I was a little on the high end, but who knows how much of that time was spent
aging,
the game
Bobby.
Running in the background.
We're getting old in our old age.
Yeah, that's true. But a game like this, I feel like I can keep up with. But I didn't want to skip. I didn't want to look anything up because once you've played through this game, the magic is gone.
Yeah.
There's no re-experiencing any of it. So it was really important to me that, you know, I did this all on my own.
So let's talk about a little bit when you got really stuck. Did you find yourself going back to other ones, trying to figure out this one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, I would just find another person and just, you know, who do I have a strong lead on? There are two people on the boat named Charlie, and that is actually one of the easier ones to figure out, I think. But it was one that I kind of got wrong at first, and then I left it off to the side for a long time. I solved a bunch of other ones, then I kind of came back to that one.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, and then I cracked that case, but it's an incredibly satisfying game. I highly recommend this game.
Last thing, the ship, not that big of a place, I would imagine. I mean, how many bodies are we talking?
Four decks. So you have the top, what do they call it? They had names for each. You learn a lot of nautical terms in this as well. Yeah.
The poop deck?
they had the top deck. They had the gun deck. There was another room called the Lazarette, which you don't uncover until the very end. And then there was
the deck.
No, it started with an O or a P or something. It was like the third one down, and then there was the very bottom one, which was like all the store. So there are a lot of places to explore on the boat. And
it's a ship, Bobby.
On the boat, the ship. Yeah, I guess it is a ship. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like a kind of a pirate story, I guess. Not really a pirate story, but it's a, you know, it's like a maritime adventure story, and it's got everything you would want or expect in it. You know, it's got forbidden treasure, stowaways, you know, creatures from the deep, you know, everything that you would possibly imagine that would be in this type of story is in there. So
I'm so glad you liked it this much.
Yeah. I thought this game was phenomenal. The only thing I can ding it for is a lack of replay value, but it is well worth your time.
That's like reading a book and being like, well, fuck, I can't read it again right now, so it's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, replay value is an interesting thing with games. Because
we get used to it. It's something that, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of weird to know that you're never going to, like, go back to this game.
Yeah.
I had that with Moonlighter. Yeah, I think it was Moonlighter, where I finished that game, and I was hooked on it.
Yeah,
I
remember.
Like, super hooked on it. It was during the time I was playing lots of Heroes of the Storm, and I totally... like put that off to the side and just plowed through Moonlighter. And then when I was done with it, I was like completely, it was 100% saturation. There was nothing, absolutely nothing more I could get out of that game after maybe 15 hours of it. And I was kind of like, that sucks, but you know, that's okay.
That is okay.
I'm all right with that.
100% okay.
Yeah. All right.
So Gamer Nation. So my guess was this guy, so Bobby talked about this last week.
Yeah,
there was a book about
Gamer Nation.
Basically, the author shitting on games, right? And my theory was that his take was just a terrible take. That's why it got such a bad review.
Well, that was based on the reviews that I've read before I started reading the book. And now that I've gone through the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 chapters, I'm almost halfway through the book. I understand what people are talking about. Let me just read, like, on the Amazon page, just a quick sentence of what it says this book is about. A tech industry insider takes a critical look at the effect games are having on our short and long-term happiness, and assesses the cultural prospects of a society increasingly obsessed with gaming. So he's not looking on games favorably.
Right.
This book is all over the damn place, dude.
It's just poorly written.
No, it's fine. I mean, the guy does like a decent job. It's not that it's poorly written. It's just, it is scattered. I'm like, okay, great. You know, let's read a book about games. You know, this guy is wondering if games are really that good. You know, okay. Well, I kind of share that sentiment a little bit in my older age. I'm just kind of like, you know, probably not a good idea to be spending so much time playing games. Ironically, I have a podcast where I talk about it, which is weird, but
lost 15 subscribers.
Yeah. But you know,
keep digging that hole, Bobby.
We all reach that point where we get old and you're like, you know, we're having this conversation about The Last of Us 2 right now. People on Twitter are just like, does it need to be so violent? You know, do we need violent video games? Like, do they have to be so violent? So I don't know. That's a whole nother conversation. But the first chapter of this book, Gamer Nation, the guy talks about animals and studying play in animals, which animals play, why do they play, what happens, and it ends with this: what happens when you deprive animals of play? Because that's how you can really study the effects. And so what he posits at the end of that, based on the research that he lists, is that when you deprive an animal of play, they have trouble socializing with other animals when put into large groups. So that takes it into the second chapter, where he talks about how that has happened with humans, because we've been deprived of play, not video games necessarily, but play, like the ability to play with other kids, other kids, and not be overprotected by their parents. And that's really what the second chapter is about.
Free play. Do they mention free play? That's what it's been called.
Yeah, like free play. He doesn't mention it by name that, but that's what he's getting at. So he talks about how, and this is this is a conversation I have heard nonstop working in education. Are we over-parenting children? Are we protecting them? Are we wrapping them in bubble wrap so they, you know, don't learn to deal with their problems and are poorly socialized out in the real world? So he basically, in the second chapter, like, summarizes 3 other books that he reads. Like, that's half the chapter, him summarizing these 3 other books, and then goes on to say that these kids have now grown up, they've gone to college, and now they're unable to deal with problems and differences that they have with other people, and they always run to the administration for it, and we have bloated administrations in college and not enough tenured teachers and all this stuff. And he uses a really weird example about kids getting upset that someone wrote Trump 2016 on a wall, and they went to the administration about that. And then he's like, well, you know, back in the 70s, kids, you know, he references the Kent State Massacre, and he's like, yeah, a couple of kids died, but at least they took it into their own hands. And I'm like, okay, this is a little weird.
I guess I'm going to guess this guy's an older gentleman.
No, I looked him up, and he's not that old. He graduated college in 99, so he's probably about your age, maybe a little older than you, I think. Yeah, he's older than you.
Yeah.
But a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Not like mid-40s or something. Yeah,
but I'm also super cool and hip, dude.
Yeah. So the second chapter is all about just like outrage culture and all this stuff. And at that point, I was just like,
Kurt the Ape says they grow up to be looters.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, I'm just like, I've never stopped reading a book, by the way.
Cordia says I hate this book. Yeah, I'm sure he hasn't read it. You could stop, Bobby. I think we get it.
No, dude. It doesn't stop there. I got a few more chapters, man. I'm telling you, this is all over the place. Yeah. So, at this point, I've never stopped reading a book. And I'm just like, if I can make it through, what was it, capitalist realism, I could make it through this. But so I had a serious thought of like, do I really want to keep reading this? And I was like, you know what? Let's push through it. Let's see what's going on. So then I get to the third chapter, and this one, there's so much of this book that it keeps jumping all over the place that I actually have to look at it and figure out what the third chapter actually was called so I can continue to talk about it.
I have a theory about this. So usually you read stuff that supports your already your thoughts that you already have. But Bobby keeps reading books that are against video games. I think he's looking for support on his new stance.
My anti-video game agenda.
He's working for the other side, folks. I hope you realize this.
Yeah, I'm bringing it down from within is what I'm doing. Okay, so the next chapter. Oh, boy. The next chapter, Massive Size is Massive.
Massive, what?
So he just, okay, yeah, that chapter, he just goes on to say how big video games are.
Okay.
Like, it's a big industry.
For a whole chapter.
Yeah, one chapter on that. All right. Video games make a lot of money.
Yep. Got it.
Yeah. Next chapter, Anatomy of a Bestseller. This is the one where he starts out by going after, first of all, he says, you can skip this if you want to. If you already believe me and feel that I'm going to make an unbiased opinion about all this stuff, then you can go ahead and skip this chapter. And I'm like, reading this chapter because I am skeptical. But he starts out by saying, like, okay, here's how you write a bestseller. And, you know, these are all, it felt very, like, a little bitter, but I don't think he meant to come across that way. But he starts kind of like negating a lot of these books that were on bestseller lists. Like, he says, you know, there's a lot of books out there that just tell people what they want to hear and offer up information that supports their theories and
probably true.
Just appeases the masses. And he's
some
like,
of it.
Yeah. And it's all garbage. And pretty much everything by Malcolm Gladwell, garbage.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, ooh, that's a big claim, but okay. And then he talks about a book. This is interesting because I read this book a while ago and it was recommended to me by someone. He talks about a book that he also does not like called Everything That's Bad is Good for You. And it's by this dude who wrote about how because technology is advancing, TV shows and movies are getting smarter, that ingesting all this media is actually making you smarter by doing this.
Okay.
This game came out, or that book came out like maybe 15 years ago. So he kind of rails against that for a little while. And then that's another chapter.
It seems like you moved in with a cranky old guy for like a week and we're thinking about moving out the whole time. That's what it sounds like.
I don't know, because like I am genuinely like interested in this, and I do kind of feel like, especially I think maybe because I work with kids and I know what it's like to have like a gamer student, and
right,
yeah, it's
checked
just
out.
Like, yeah, like pretty checked out, you know, priorities are super out of whack,
right?
So, yeah, I mean, I'll hear him out. And, like, some of the stuff I read, like, okay, like, I get that. I can get on board with that. And then the next chapter, which I'm currently on, is talking about, you know, how evil Candy Crush is. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff that I already know.
Sure.
But I totally understand. And you can tell just by my summary of those chapters, this thing's all over the place, dude.
Right.
It's going all like, the fourth chapter should have been the first chapter.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm not the author here. I'm just reading this damn
thing. The editor fucked it up, dude. And it's fucked up in post.
Maybe. So yeah, this has been a wild ride. At this point, I can't really recommend the book, but I'll see it through.
You're gonna read the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm almost halfway through it. I don't stop reading books, man.
Okay.
I don't stop watching. I don't quit movies. I don't quit books.
Question, Bobby. Any movie you ever given up on? Walked out of the theater.
Okay. Well, at home, it's a different story.
Well, if you run out of time, I love
Letterboxd. I'll read random reviews by people and like. A lot of people are trying too hard to be funny, but sometimes they make me laugh. And one dude wrote, like, I walked out of this movie and I watched it at home. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
What movie? Do you remember?
Oh, God. What movie was it? I cannot remember.
Okay.
But a movie that I've walked out of in the theater? No. I've come close. I've fallen asleep to quite a few movies in the theater.
All right. What'd you come close to?
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
I almost walked out of that one.
Have you watched Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah. That one's good. Yeah, that's the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
It's probably the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
And they're making a sequel of it. They just announced.
And there's a video game. Just announced for the PlayStation 5, I think.
Oh, that'll do well.
It's called Spider-Man.
And it's in the same, like, graphic style?
I don't know. All we got was, like, a graphic. It says, Spider-Man Miles Morales. I think that's all.
Okay,
it says.
Just teasing it.
Yeah. I walked out of Ghost Dog.
Ghost Dog?
Yeah. It's Forrest Whitaker as a modern day samurai who uses a gun as his sword. So he follows the samurai code, but it's his gun. And so he's a Ronin.
82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, walked right the fuck out. Walked right the fuck out, dude.
Oh my God.
I could not take it.
This movie came out in 1999. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker with a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai. Okay.
It is awful, dude. 82%.
What is going on? Some of the older movies have inflated scores because not as many critics have reviewed them. You know, in 99, they didn't have Rotten Tomatoes, so.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah. I feel like a lot of people, I like Forrest Whitaker. Let me go back and watch all his movies now that there's online. And then so they get inflated that way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gamer Nation, The Rise of Modern Gaming, and The Compulsion to Play Again. Probably skip this one. Although I do think it's important to read things that you don't necessarily agree with just to hear the other side of the story. But a book is a big commitment. It's going to take me another 2 weeks to finish.
No, it doesn't, dude. Throw it out of the fucking window. You're on the 12th floor. It's going to land on some bum's head, and it's going to change his life, dude.
Yeah, that's what they need. Did I ever? I know I've told you this. I know I've told you this story, but I...
Quickly, M. Pilaf says he walked out of the first Superman with Henry Cavill. That was pretty bad. Is that I think
the first Superman, I didn't see it in the theater.
I think it's the one that he picks up all of Manhattan or whatever, all of Metropolis. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to tell my bum story, but I feel like the momentum's gone.
Sorry.
I'll tell it really quick anyway. When I first moved into my high-rise... I was pretty much done with a jacket. I was like, why do I even have this jacket? So I threw it away down the garbage chute. And the next morning while driving to work, I pulled out of the underground parking area. Yeah. And there's a bum walking down the street wearing that jacket. So I kind of felt good, man. Like, yeah, just cut good. Out the middleman.
Well, really, you should have just came. Like when I lived downtown, I would give away dinners, like get leftovers every time I went out to dinner, which
give
was a
my
lot.
Leftover Soylent.
When there were, I used to live a block away. So when they were building this thing, there's like what the designers think or want people to think it's going to look like when they're done. So they got the thing drawn out. It's just a construction site, but on the outside, this is.
Yeah, they always put up the big boarded walls,
exactly.
And they always have an illustration
exactly.
of what it's supposed to look like.
And so, and because Smart Corner is interesting because it has. The subway, or not the subway, but
the
trolley going right through the middle of it. And so they had all these people in business suits and like fucking like almost like it almost looked like retro futurism and like an ideal picturesque. Obviously, that's their job. And then I saw right away, I was like, those are not the people that ride the trolley. It's the worst people on earth that ride the trolley, or the worst people in San Diego. That is, and sure enough, the entire tunnel that it goes through this building is just, it's a wretched hive of humanity.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad.
It's pretty fucking bad, dude.
There's worse train stops. Yeah. No, you start riding the bus. That's where
this is the kind of place where there's a 7-Eleven and they follow you around the store when you're in there. Because
The 7-Eleven that accused me of stealing a rock star.
And he never went back in?
For 2 years, yeah.
2 years. That's my limit.
Anyway, let's talk about some video games. So there was the PC Gaming Show that happened just last Saturday, and they went through so much.
I'm curious what you thought of the aesthetic or their, you know, what
the overall presentation.
The presentation.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine.
They were going for Mystery Science 3000 kind of thing, right? You feel?
Yeah, it was kind of goofy. They had a little robot sidekick. They have this, I can't remember his name, but the host, he's done other stuff for them before. And he's, you know, he's kind of that real upbeat, just naturally kind of, he's a good host. He's a good guy for the job, regardless of how a lot of people feel about it.
But, throughout the show, there was cut-ins from other hosts that would cut in and take over the show. The first guy that took over, I don't know who he is, but I was like, man, this guy's so much a better host than the other guy.
So the guy with the black shirt, red tie, he had kind of reddish hair and a beard.
Yeah. And then the one, the cut-in that was, this was great. This was probably the best cut-in, was the one from Red Alert. And it was one of the guys who did the cut-ins from the actual game, Red Alert.
Oh, yeah.
And it just played really well. I thought that was fucking perfect. But anyway.
Yeah, they went back and forth a lot to a lot of different things. Oh, and then there was the girl, too.
Yeah, that, she was
with
great.
The yellow sweater.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, as far as the presentation went, I thought it was great. Yeah. Like, I was pretty impressed.
I mean, if you can't read the fucking chat, dude. The chat just fucking shits all over everything. Why even have chat? It's,
oh, yeah, that's a cesspool.
It's terrible.
All right, so let's talk about all the games that we saw on, well, the games that interest us on the PC Gamer show. You can go and watch that. It's about an hour and a half long, I guess, if you cut, you know, if you skip to right when it starts, maybe a little under 2 hours. It's not that long, and they really packed it in there, man. It didn't feel like there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah, not a lot of fluff, just like, Games.
Yeah.
One of the bigger presentations was Icarus from the creator of DayZ, Dean Hall, the Rocket Hall, they call him. I felt this game took the most chances and is something, it's newer, it almost seems like a new genre. So this is the way that I understood it. You have a space station. You can invite friends to your space station before you go on a mission. So it's kind of like a hub. Then you select what mission you want to go on, and you go on that mission to get a certain thing done, whatever it might be. Get a certain resource, build a certain base, whatever it is. Get the resources and build the base. But they start off with like 20-minute missions because you only have so much oxygen. In that time, there's aliens, there's, you know, treacherous terrain, all kinds of bad things that could happen, and you get fucked up while you're out there. If you get hurt, if you break your leg, it can be repaired and your friends can help you back to your space pod. If you get attacked by a creature, same thing. If you run out of oxygen, your friend can come save you, whatever. And you got to get back to the pod after 20 minutes because everybody runs out of oxygen, everybody's dead. If for some reason your character does not make it back to the pod on time, that's it. All the equipment you have on you, everything you've ever built with that character.
Yeah. All progress is lost.
All progress is lost. So in my head, I painted this scenario where you got 30 seconds left and one of your guys goes down for whatever reason. And you have to decide, do I risk my whole character and everything that I have, or did I just go to the space station and save all that, and my buddy's going to lose all everything that he's ever had? Like, that's a tough decision to try to make in a game like this. Mm-hmm. I really like the focus on where this game came from. Like, he was trying to recreate the first few minutes of these survival games that are so good. Like, the first hour, the first 2 hours of what do you call it?
Rust.
Yeah, I'm talking the Minecraft. Stuff like that. So, and then later on, these missions get longer and longer and longer. And you can go to some that are multiple days. I don't know how that plays in real time. But at night, of course, just like Minecraft, real monsters come at night. And so you have to prep for that. So, let's say you're making a space station, or what do you call it, like a base, a real base. You might have to make a mock-up base out of wood while you're building this other high-tech base, right? And it's taking multiple nights to do this. I don't know how many hours that is, but I felt like this is almost like mixing up there was that Russian game, the Play for Keeps game that I always call it that.
Tarkov?
Yeah, Tarkov. It's like mixing Tarkov and Minecraft. I thought that was a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw crafting survival, chopping trees, and I was just like, yeah, I kind of checked out of this one.
But the time limit, dude, I feel like it really adds to the whole thing.
Yeah.
The problem with these games is like there's no end and there's no real goal, but they're giving you tiny little goals to try to accomplish together with friends. Like, that's fucking dope, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if it'll be enough.
If it is what it says it is, I think this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, no release date. Release is expected 2021. So it's a little ways off. All right. You know what? We forgot to mention when we switched over to On the Radar. We've got quite a few subs here. So let's just go down the list here. Thank you, Imperium News, for the host, by the way.
Thank you.
Recycled, coming in with 100 bits. Thank you very much. And subscriptions, we've got SMI Jeff at 8 months, Captain Gummy at 10 months, Clay is Dazed, 7 months.
Let's go.
And also Katoom earlier in the week for 1 month. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Katoom. I like that word name.
All right. Next game up is going to be Elite Dangerous Odyssey.
If there was a theme this year, it was, or like a through line, it seemed like space games coming to planets. It seemed to be happening.
Space games not in space.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it happened in Icarus, happens in Elite Dangerous, and it happens later. I ain't put it on the list, mm-hmm. but Everspace 2, same thing. It has a terrestrial type stuff going on. And there was another one, but I ain't put it on the list either. Anyway, Elite Dangerous. Only reason I put it on here is because I know there's a lot of listeners that play it. It is one of the more, it's a more of a simulation. Like this is very realistic type stuff that happens, and you have to, it's accurate piloting and all this stuff, and all the physics is good. So I imagine that once you touch down and you're on ground, it's going to be more of the same. I don't think it's going to be an arcadey game. I'm not basing this on anything, but what I know about Elite Dangerous. So I imagine it'll be pretty hardcore and very difficult. So I think it's going to play right into what Elite Dangerous players like about this game. It's a life in space, and now you can get to explore planets. So I think it's pretty, they're probably super stoked about this, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. They say if all goes to plan and Odyssey hits, or wait, if all goes to plan and Odyssey hits its planned release date, 2021 will be a huge year for Frontier's Space Sim. Yep. 2021 is the year.
Yep.
A lot happening. All right. Next up is Godfall.
Godfall is a third person. So they wanted like an action RPG. It's kind of Diablo-esque, but it's in third person perspective. So I saw one of the, this is the only helpful comment I saw in the fucking toxicity that was, somebody said that it was like a medieval anthem, and then it just made sense for me. You know, you have medieval weapons, you're out fighting. It looks a lot like something like a Souls-like game, but more action oriented. And then you have the loot piñata. So, you know, bunch of loot is jumping out of these things with different, there's blue, green, purple for rarity and stuff like that. So looks cool to me. I would love to do some dungeon crawling in a third person perspective. The only reason I play dungeon crawlers in isometric view is because that's how they're made.
Yeah, it's pretty much all they offer.
Yeah. Borderlands was the first one to really change the perspective into a first person, and you saw where that went. So this is very ambitious. It has like AAA graphics, I would say, or close to. So pretty ambitious. Hope they pull it off. Right. With games like this, kind of like with, it's always the end game, right? Like how do they, you can only put so much into a game, and what's going to keep people playing? And is that going to ruin the game? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody just grinds to the end game.
Yep.
Next up is Metal Hellsinger. This is a game we talked about, I think, a couple months ago. So it's a first-person shooter, but it's also a rhythm game. You get bonus points for killing to the beat. And the soundtrack is very heavy metal, dark metal.
Give him a little bit, Bobby.
Yeah, let's turn this up here. This guy's doing a very good job of killing to the beat here.
It's got to be on rails, right?
No, I don't think so. So from I don't know, but from what I've read and what I've seen is that it's like a normal first-person shooter, but you try to kill to the beat. If you don't kill to the beat, you still kill the enemies, but you the whole objective is not just to kill everybody, but to get as many points possible. And you get these points by killing people or doing actions on the beat.
Interesting. I don't know. From it definitely looked on the rails from what I saw. But that could be, that's all that whole thing where sometimes the demos are played by the computer. It's just like a program playing it, so it's like super smooth.
Yeah. They could have constructed it to look that way.
But I think it's probably on rails, but
it might be.
They're not going to say that about their own game, I don't think.
If it was, I'd be a little disappointed.
I think it looks great. I think it's exciting either way. I mean, all rhythm games are on rails. So that's why I thought that's why it was going to look this way.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Baker and Jennifer Hale doing the voiceover.
Hmm. Yeah, very prolific voiceover artist there in video games.
Yep.
That's a good sign. All right, this next game is, out of everything that I saw, this is the game that I'm most excited about. This is Evil Geniuses 2, or Evil Genius 2 World Domination. I was not familiar with Evil Genius 1. It's on Steam for $10. I would love to pick it up and check it out, although it's very old. It's 2004, 2002, somewhere around there. Super old game. But Evil Genius 2 World Domination is a satirical spy-fi lair builder where you are the criminal mastermind. Construct your base, train your minions, defend your operations from the forces of justice, and achieve global domination. So it's kind of like a base builder, but it's also maybe a little bit of a tower defense where you have these secret agents coming in trying to thwart your plans, and you've got to set things up in your lair to foil them. And it... just the graphics on this game, the tone of this game, it looks like they nailed it. This looks like Venture Bros. This looks like, you know, James Bond when he was quirky, like pre-80s. This looks like so much fun.
Yeah, it looks great. Everything about this is spot on. Like,
mm-hmm.
If I was going to make this game, I would want it to look exactly like this.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks fantastic. I will definitely be checking this one out. And it's being made and published by Rebellion. And Rebellion is a studio that you don't really hear about a lot. They made all the Sniper games. They also made probably the only good Judge Dredd game out there on the PC, Judge Dredd, Dredd vs. Death. There's hardly any of those out there.
Alien vs. Predator, I like that game.
Yeah, Alien vs. Predator. They made that. I mean, they've got a pretty good track record of some fun games. Not like some huge titles, but definitely ones that you've heard of. So this looks fantastic. Release date's 2020, so not that far away.
Cool.
Can't wait for this one. All right.
Oh, what was the other simulation game? It was like Cartel. Cartel Simulator. It didn't look that great, but I thought it was funny that they were doing Mexican cartels.
Yeah. There's a lot of bad simulators out there.
Yeah.
That just try to really leap off of one funny idea.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, how far can you go with that?
For sure.
We're getting a request to play a little bit of the music here. It sounds a little like TF2.
Yeah. It looks like The Incredibles, guys, kind of.
Yeah.
Especially when they would do the retro cuts on Incredibles about the past. That's kind of like what this game looks mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, looks great. Evil Genius 2.
It's got to be an island, right? It's always an island.
Yep, an island or like a mountainside or a cliff.
Volcano.
Okay, next up is Gloomwood. This was part of... They actually, I think, forgot to include the trailer for this and stuck it in right at the very end. But this was part of New Blood Interactive's kind of montage of all their games. New Blood Interactive is a publisher that publishes a bunch of games like A Medieval, Faith, Maximum Action, and the one that I played quite a bit of, Dusk. And they make these games that look like old 90s, late 90s games, but they are made on new engines and made with kind of newer, more modern
mechanics. And
yeah,
stuff.
Mechanics and philosophies, I guess. So Gloomwood it's like a survival game. It's an immersive survival horror game. And I'm not really super into those types of games. I'm a little burnt out on them, to be honest, but this one looks pretty interesting. I think a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, oh, the graphics, but you know, that's kind of
that's what they're going for.
Yeah. That's exactly what New Blood is all about. I thought they had one of the funnier little, I don't know, vignettes in the PC Gaming Show when they cut over to that guy. He kept swearing and they kept bleeping it out and they kept like dropping the voice. I don't know if you remember that.
No,
their montage was something, or their quote they kept saying was like, "We love you, we hate money," or something. The guy was very funny when he was doing it. I thought it was pretty well edited, kind of an erratic style.
Question on them, Bobby. Why did they do like a 3-minute trailer for Dusk? Is more Dusk coming out? Or I watched the whole thing. I was like, oh, what is this?
There's something new with Dusk, mods.
Oh.
There's going to be mods for it.
Okay.
But they highlighted all their games, and that leads me to the other one that I wanted to talk about. Out of all their games, these two kind of stood out to me, maybe because I've seen and played most of their other ones, but The Unfortunate Spaceman. Unfortunate Spaceman. I didn't know this game was out, but it is now free to play. And it says it is a co-op multiplayer game about shape-shifting, space-based murder and deception. So I don't know exactly what's going on in this. I'm watching the videos. I read a little bit about it. It looks like, you know, some PvP content. Yeah, kind of like The Thing. But
yeah.
It looks like PvP combat, you know, like aliens versus humans or something. But it looks like a little bit like The Thing, like one of these guys is a monster and he has to deceive the other ones. It's free to play. I've already downloaded it. I'll probably check it out this week if I have the time.
Or maybe, The Thing with a little bit of Project Winter in it, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting off of this. Looks cool, especially for free. This is a game night game right here.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have like a package you can buy to get some cosmetics, but the game is free.
You can buy my package.
Unfortunate Spaceman. All right. Next up is Rogue Lords. I can't remember if we've talked about this game before.
We have not.
Okay. Because this one caught my eye. I saw Roguelike and I was like, not super interested. But the look of this looked really cool. It's very spooky, very scary. You play as the devil and you're controlling famous minions like Dracula, Baron Samedi, some other
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, some other horrific creatures. And it is turn-based combat and it's a roguelike. And the graphics look really good.
Yeah, it looks
kind of in that stylized sense.
For sure. A little of like Nightmare Before Christmas, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Burton got thrown around as an adjective a lot when they're describing this game.
It looks great for sure. This reminds me of when I was playing the Battle Chasers game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what, like, it's almost like an American take on like a Japanese style of combat.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's good.
Yeah. 2021 on this one, we're going to have to wait a little while, but that one caught my eye. All right. Hoosier, thank you very much for the 3-month sub, man.
Thanks, homie.
Appreciate that. All right, we're getting through them, guys. Next up, The Outlast Trials. This one I almost didn't put on there, but I felt like we had to talk about it because it was one of their world premieres on the PC Gaming Show.
You've played everything Outlast so far, too, right?
Well, 2 games and a DLC, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't finish the second game, lost interest. It's a longer game. It kind of does the same thing the first one does. It's a lot of running and hiding. I'm kind of over that type of gameplay. Like, it was really popular maybe mid-2010s, you know? Like, a lot of games were popping up like that.
I feel like even though the Alien Isolation was a good game, mm-hmm. it killed the genre. Like, that was the last big one that came out. That's how I feel. I don't know if that's right.
It was super long.
Yeah.
It was really, it was way too long, but it was really good. And
you lose the magic if you make the game too long and these games.
Yeah. I mean,
Amnesia has a sequel coming out.
Yeah.
That's going to go back to the original.
I don't know. I don't really play scary games anymore because it's a lot of jump scares.
Too scary.
Too scary, man. Cause I still watch a lot of scary movies, but
we will never agree that jump scares aren't as worthy as creepiness or whatever, or horror.
No, they have diminishing returns. And I mean,
not if it keeps working.
They don't usually keep working though. After a while, it kind of deadens it, especially if you keep losing at a spot, then you kind of get over it. And it's, you know, they're cheap. You know, they're easy to pull off. They're just startling people. So I don't know. I think there's other effective ways to do horror, but it's really hard to do it in a video game. I remember playing the first Fear, and there were things that the game wanted you to look at and get scared by, but it didn't lock your camera. So you could be looking in the complete opposite direction and you would hear one of those horror stings, right? Like one of those like crescendo or like, a, you know, like the violin screech or something. And you're like, wait, what happened? And you're looking around and you totally missed it.
Yeah.
You know, no idea. And it was supposed to be the creepy girl as you were climbing up the ladder.
Although when the game does grab your camera and pulls you in a certain direction, it has its own creepiness as well.
Yeah. But then you're not in control. You're on rails. There's no agency. So
you gotta do something.
It's
I would take that over fucking looking at the closet.
It's difficult to do horror in a video game. Like I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that like I have with storytelling in video games, but it might be worth thinking about. So yeah, Outlast Trials, I think this one takes place during the Cold War and it has to do with weird experimentation.
It's co-op.
Yeah, that's the big thing here, which I like. The only thing that interests me about this game is that it's co-op.
Yeah, I could imagine like...
But again, co-op kills the horror. You ever played a scary game on stream?
No,
not scary.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe some... I don't think it's been done before, co-op horror. So maybe like two people hide...
Resident Evil 5? If you want to call that horror?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if that one's horror. That was the
but
one...
But working together to get past like two people distracting while two people get further down the hallway or whatever it is.
Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah.
And I really did enjoy, like, the first Outlast game and the first DLC. I really did enjoy that.
Dude, so he put Subnautica, Kurt Diab says Subnautica does horror well.
The ocean's scary, man, especially at night.
PewDiePie, whatever his name is, he's telling a story while he's playing Subnautica about a time that he was... It's so weird, dude. His story lines up with exactly what's going on with in the screen at the exact same time. It's like this 10-second clip, and it's just so weird that he's like, I was swimming with my parents, and then all of a sudden there's no fish, there's no people, and there was like nothing on the screen. And he's like, out of nowhere, like this big fucking fish comes out right to my face, and right as he's saying it, a big fucking leviathan or whatever it is comes
fish
out and scares the shit out of him. It's just so weird. Like if you do 100,000 videos, eventually something like this is gonna happen. It's a weird video. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, we don't have this on the show notes, but it was mentioned in chat, and I feel like we should mention it. Resident Evil 8
was announced.
That wasn't part of the PC gaming show, though.
No, was it? It wasn't.
That was announced earlier. And I played a little bit of 7. I bought 7, and I never even finished it. It looks like they don't have a page for it on Steam.
Did you watch the trailer? I remember you saying you enjoyed it.
I did, but it was a lot of running and hiding. So I was kind of after about an hour or two, I was like, I'm done. Did you watch the trailer for 8?
I didn't.
It's so funny. I'm so... like not in touch with the cultural zeitgeist here because I watched it and I was like, that actually looks pretty interesting. And then I read all the comments and like, this looks like the worst Resident Evil game ever. They ruined everything, but it deals with like witches and, witchcraft and kind of the dark arts. It seems like it kind of goes that route.
Yeah.
And it might be set. I think it's a period piece, like set in the past. Like, that actually looks, you know, it looked like that movie, The Witch. You ever see that? That Robert Eggers movie?
No, but it's probably like these Resident Evil fans, they want more Resident Evil. And this seems like a departure from that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was 5 or 4 that goes into this village and they weren't really zombies. People shat all over that one until later on when people actually played it. And then it was a better version or the people actually liked that one.
I don't know. All right. Next game is Remnant from the Ashes, the DLC, Subject 2923.
Not a whole lot of information. We almost got 1 week without talking about Remnant from the Ashes, dude.
Yeah.
But here we go. It's more DLC. Seems like a new faction. From the video that I watched, it looks like a new faction is coming into it. It's like maybe we don't have to just worry about the root, which is the plant people that are trying to take over the world, plant monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it starts off by like, oh, the root are getting back into the earth somehow. We got to go plug that hole. And it's like, maybe the root isn't who we're worried about. And the creative design of the game, the way these monsters look, the characters, the creatures. I mean, it's like give Star Wars run for their money. Even the original game. Like, you go from these different worlds and everything changes. There's nothing like one world that's in the other world. Mm-hmm. It's fucking great, man. Fuck great. And I'm glad that there's more coming out.
And soon. Well, not that soon.
Super underrated game.
August 20th is the release date for that DLC.
Yep. It's already bought. I don't give a shit. It could be overwhelmingly negative and I'll fucking buy it.
Okay, people are telling me in chat that there is a Steam page for Resident Evil 8. It's called Resident Evil Village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that I like how they did the title there.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like a movie.
There's a PC Gamer article about this, but I guess they started changing the names of titles for all these Japanese games on Steam. They used to be like all caps, super long, and right. Kind of just awkwardly titled. And I guess they've started fixing that. But yeah, as you can see, it's very Blair Witch, very a little bit of witchcraft there.
That's cool.
Spooky. Yeah, looks interesting, but I don't know if I'm going to pick that up. All right, we got two more here. Weird West. We've been hearing about this game a lot.
How did you not put this on the... I thought for sure you were going to like this game.
We've brought it up before, and I don't know. I feel like this looks like a game that I've seen before, and I've kind of been... bamboozled by, so I don't.
So I watched the thing. So did you? But what's interesting about this is from the guys who made Dishonored,
and Prey,
which mm-hmm. are two games. Well, I like the Dishonored series, and
I like Prey. I like the new Prey a lot.
Yeah, and so and them to go from a first person immersive sim world to going to from a top down mm-hmm. action RPG. Although they don't show that much action.
They showed a little bit, and a little bit I saw did not look.
Yeah, it looks great. More on the RPG side. A lot of talking, that's what they were emphasizing.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have that part of the game done, you know, the actual action.
What they said, I did see some combat, and it looked like Hotline Miami almost. It just looked very mm-hmm. like, you know, any sort of top-down action kind of all looks the same to me, I suppose.
Yeah.
But the thing they were really trying to stress when they were talking about this was, it's just like Prey. It's just like Dishonored. It's the same type of game. All we did was change the camera
angle. Right, right.
So,
and the other thing about this game is I think it's relatively... I'm going out on a limb here. I think it's relatively short because he says that you beat it with one character and that unlocks the next character. And you're supposed to beat the game with the second character with the first character that you played in the game world. So you can go talk to that guy that you formerly were and he mm-hmm. can join your crew. If he dies, he's done. If he dies one time and you don't have him anymore. And that continues to go. So by the time you get to the fifth character, which is, I believe, is a werewolf or maybe the fourth one, you play through the game and you have all the other, if you play it right, you have all the other guys in your crew to mm-hmm. to get through the whole game.
Yeah, which is so a really interesting idea.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good idea.
All right. Last one is 13.
Not on the PC Gaming Show either.
No, this has just been kind of talked about here and there, but they now actually have some gameplay of the 13 remake that is coming out November 10th is the official release date of it.
And Bobby, we were talking a little bit before the show about what the difference between a remake and a remaster is. And I really quickly, I think we should go over it. I think when a remake, it's usually when they do a HD texture pack. Bring it up to modern day standards, make it maybe a wide screen, an extra wide screen are supported, and it just looks better, but it's the exact same game. Maybe the UI is updated, stuff like that. That's a remaster. And then a remake is all new code. Maybe it's a shot for shot, but still it's all brought up to modern day mm-hmm. engine and all that stuff.
I don't know. I don't like to get caught up in semantics because a lot of people have their own definitions of what those are. But looking at the gameplay of this, it actually looks a lot like the original. And the original, well, except widescreen, but I'm sure there's a widescreen fix for that. I played this not too long ago.
Yeah, like six months ago.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Last summer I played this. And this game holds up really well. Not only the gameplay, but the graphics. Because it's done in that cel-shaded type of way, which wasn't super popular back then until Borderlands came along. But it holds up really well. So part of me is like, did we even need a remake on this? But I am glad that it's kind of being brought back into the spotlight a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and exactly, like younger people are going to get to play it for the first time. So good thing it's coming. Either way, it's good that it's coming out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do list the different versions of it that you can get here, but I don't know where you can buy this.
Yeah.
It's coming out on all the consoles and the PC, but I don't know if it's going to be on Steam. Usually it'd have a Steam page by now. But I don't know. I'm sure that will become clear soon.
Dude, our radar screen was full of blips this week.
Yep.
Next up, though, we're going to talk about DLG Con. We have a meeting right after this. So what's happening is, because of COVID and everything, you know, we thought we were going to get close to 20 people. We got a 20-person house. I got a refund on that. We're going down to like a 12-person house or something like that, 12 to 14 people house, which we have most of that filled up. I think there's a couple slots left over if you want, but we're going down to a smaller house. Tonight, we're deciding which of two houses we're going to go with. I believe that's what we're doing. And then so next week, we will have way more information for you guys. We'll be like, this is the house. This is how many rooms we have left, and this is what it's going to cost. So, right? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll probably have all that information next week. DLG Con 2020 is still going on. Will be in September. And I'm going to say no masks. I mean, I don't make the rules around here, but I'm going to say no masks.
It looks like there is actually a Steam page for this. There's a Steam page for the bundle, and that offers the 13 remake, the original classic one, and also the pre-order bonus. But just for the remake, $40 on Steam.
Gummy says no pants either. So there you go.
Yikes.
Yeah. Nick, yeah, if you want to come, you got to go. You can go. You got to pay full price, though. Full. It's my nephew.
All right. We did also want to mention that just today we posted our Deep Rock Galactic video that we've been working on for quite some time here. That is finally up. It is on our YouTube channel. Let me put it up here.
Let's just play the whole thing. Let's take a break right here, Bobby, because I got to go to the bathroom and stuff anyway.
Do you want to play the whole thing?
Yeah.
I didn't prep OBS.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Do you need to go to the bathroom? I mean, I can talk for a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
You know more about this than I do. I was cut out of this completely. I didn't know that they were doing it, and then I had no input, but it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you could have done in this, but okay. Yeah, so that is on YouTube. Be sure to check that out. That's our Deep Rock Galactic music video. It's a parody song of TikTok. I know everybody is a little sick of that song, but we're bringing it back. I wanted to thank a few people that made this possible, though. First of all, Sniper did a lot of the work for writing the lyrics, and then Days also helped out with that, so thank you very much. And Recycled helped out with the audio with that. Definitely appreciate that. And then, of course, Ugly is a Twitch streamer who streams Deep Rock Galactic a lot, as well as some other games. I'll link her channel in the description so you can check her out. But she did the audio for this. She sang the song for us. And that was a huge part of it, because none of us can sing. None of us would have been capable of doing that part. So thank you so much to her for helping out with that. And check out her stream. She streams a lot of DRG, which is very cool, and a couple of other games, but mostly DRG. And it's a good time to be getting into DRG. They've just had a big update. They're always having big updates. And I did the editing of this, and I'm so glad it's over with, because I never want to hear this song again. If you weren't over TikTok in 2010, you'll definitely be over it by now. All right. And while Emilio's still gone, I guess we'll talk about some of our sponsors here. We usually bring it up at the end of the show, but Gorilla Mind. If you pick this up, we get a cut of it if you use our link, which is nice. It's a way for you to get something, but also support the show. Gorilla Mind is a cognitive enhancer. It can help you with gaming. It can help you with working out. It's pretty intense if you get the rush. I don't know if I'd recommend that unless you really need to get amped for some reason. But I'd recommend the smooth. I think it also kind of depends on how much you weigh too. And then also Emilio's Gourmet Salsa Insidious. This stuff sells itself. I feel like we barely even need to mention it. So you can check that out at insidious.com. Again, if you use the promo code, I believe it's DL Gaming, then we get a little bit of a cut of that. So every little bit helps, guys. And that's all I got for ads. So it's just me in here. What do you guys want to talk about, chat? Give me a topic. Nope, here he comes. He's coming back just in time.
Sorry, buddy.
All right. Oh, we still got news, God. I feel like this episode's going long.
And we still have Bobby Tries a Mexican. I just found something for you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right, let's talk a little news. First up, Divinity Original Sin just got new quests, new loot, and a new boss.
Is it at the end of the game, or is it intermixed in the middle? Do you know?
So this is how they do it. They've got a few other things that are like this. They're like these add-ons, and when you start a game, they call them gift bags in the game, and you can enable them when you start to play. They've got quite a few of them already, but this is just another one that you can do, and it's got quite a bit of content in it.
So you have to start a new run to unlock them?
Yeah, I don't know if you can enable them mid-run. I've seen these before, and I was a little confused about what exactly they were, because one of them gives you more crafting recipes, okay. Like quite a few more crafting recipes. But that's just, I don't know, another feature you can turn on during the game. I don't know if you've watched this video, but no. The dragon boss looks very cool. Let me skip towards the end so you can see him. I feel like I've played the first half of this game so many times, though.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to finish it. I've got so many, I got yours and my playthrough where we got to the third island. I've got my solo playthrough where I'm in the middle of the second island. And then I've got a playthrough with Sniper where we're in the middle of the second island. So I really just need to pick one and plow through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to, I was playing so much of
this. Let's do it. We're the furthest along. We're probably 10 hours ahead of the other
ones. Bad news about that. So when you create, it's very important when you start a new playthrough, make a new profile. Otherwise, your quick saves are going to overwrite your other quick saves. So when I started playing with Sniper, I had to make a new profile.
Right.
So all the quick saves got overwritten, except for one manual save that I did. Do you remember that guy we tried to fight and he kept possessing me and then I'd go kick your ass?
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
I had no chance. In our playthrough, Bobby's the muscle and the brains.
I'm not even, yeah.
I'm basically just I'm like a support character, right? Yeah.
I'm not sure what you do, actually. I think you try to expand in too many directions.
Yeah, for sure.
You try to make too many things happen. And yeah. I was just like, everything in damage, all melee damage.
He min-maxed, and I just spread out.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the cool part about Divinity is you can be whatever you want, man. Like, you can be a melee character, but then you can also start putting points into something else and start casting spells, like... I don't know, but I'm just glad to see more content. They did. I remember we talked about this. They did say that they were going to be putting more content in here, and they were going to announce it along with some Baldur's Gate 3 stuff. So this is what they were talking about. It's called the Four Relics of Rivalon. So new boss, new loot, and new quests.
Just having a new boss. That's a for no.
It's a giant skeletal dragon that's glowing green. It's a really cool looking boss. They've got some great character models in this game.
Yep.
So the next bit of news is about Baldur's Gate 3. It says Baldur's Gate 3 could enter early access as soon as August if everything goes to plan. And in their early access, what they're going to be doing is giving people the ability to play the game. Well, I guess it's self-explanatory in early access. You can play the game early, not all of it, of course. But I don't know. Is this a game...
Hard pass, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to play just a little bit of it.
Same thing with Mount & Blade, dude. I'm waiting for, you know, the full release. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to fuck around with the...
Yeah.
Just wait.
There are absolutely people out there who are so eager to play this. They're going to jump right on it.
And burn themselves out, possibly.
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. The people... it's ridiculous how many hours people have put into Divinity. And when I watched all the Baldur's Gate 3 stuff, it looks so much like Divinity to me.
So Hollow Point says, he's a longtime listener, new watcher. Baldur's Gate 3 hype, I'm so pumped for it, but I agree, just wait. It's going to be better.
Yeah.
You just have to wait.
Yeah, and even when they released Divinity, the first one, they came out with a definitive edition later, which corrected a lot of things, fixed
so much
a lot
better.
Of things. The saves don't transfer over. I think the same thing happened with Divinity 2.
Yeah.
My original playthrough could not transfer over to the enhanced or definitive edition or whatever it was. So, yeah, it's in these cases, it's usually better to wait, and it's unfortunate because it is such a great game. And I think we can say that with... We can assume that Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be a great game.
Yeah, I think we could just assume.
Yeah. All right, next up, Star Wars Squadron details reveal trailer incoming. Now, this is a bit awkward because by the time this episode is posted, it'll be Tuesday, and they will have already done this trailer, the reveal trailer for Star Wars Squadrons. But as we are recording this now, we have not seen it, but it has been confirmed. It was leaked earlier, and everyone kind of knew this was coming anyway, but Star Wars Squadrons is going to be coming out. Publisher is EA.
Do we know anything about it? Do we know if it's going to be a story-driven campaign? No.
I mean, all we know about it is just the art and the name. So there it looks like it's going to be focusing on space combat, possibly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we can say that, right?
Yeah.
Squadrons. There's not squadrons of Ewoks. They don't walk around in squadrons.
Yeah. So their post on Twitter says, pilots wanted. Tune in for the reveal trailer of Star Wars Squadron this Monday, June 15th.
And there is a Super Star Destroyer in the artwork. So, gosh, that would be cool if it's full-on space battles.
Yeah, imagine a Pulsar Lost Colony, but you're managing a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, dude.
There's a lot of jobs on a Star Destroyer.
Cool.
Yeah, that's looking good.
Yeah.
I'm excited, even though there's like nothing to go off of.
What do you think? We could only guess. What do you think EA's experiment with a single player, no microtransactions game? How do you think that turned out for them? Obviously, it made money.
Yeah,
but did it make as much money as they would like to have made?
I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows,
they've got pretty high standards. Wasn't there like some article back in the day where like they're talking about how one of the Battlefield games didn't reach projected, like the projected amount of money they thought they were going to make, and the game sold like millions of copies or something,
right,
and made like $800 million or something ridiculous.
Right.
All right. Guess we're on to listener questions. Oh, are we going to try some Mexican food?
Yeah, let's do it.
So some candy. This looks like a sucker.
I had to ask Sam the name because there's no markings or anything on it. But that's how it's sold in the store.
So it is a plastic spoon.
Yep.
With something in the spoon and then plastic, like cellophane, wrapped around it and held together or held down with a rubber band.
Yep. And they don't put any markings. Anyway, they're called cucharitas, which means small spoons. So it's just one spoonful of flavor. And Bobby's having a hard time taking off the rubber band.
The rubber band is really tight.
So it's childproof.
Is it like sushi? You're supposed to eat it in one bite?
No. This is something like you suck on and lick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of like it's got some give to it. Like it's not like a hard sucker here.
No. Yeah, it's like it's probably tamarind. Mexicans go crazy for tamarind with a little bit of chili in it. You're gonna get it. You're going to hit the same flavors all the time. Mexicans like the same shit.
Yeah. Jim
Lemon,
Gaffigan
salt.
Had a bit about that where he worked at a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's all the same stuff, just made differently.
Yeah.
And he got annoyed when people would ask,
what's
in
a taco?
It's lettuce, cheese, meat, tomato.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's two things in here. One is red, one is brown.
Yeah. Good luck, buddy. Mm-hmm. But I like those. They're good. It's like a spicy sweet, which, again, you're going to run into a lot with the Mexicans, for sure.
Yeah, this is good. This tastes just like the other stuff. The salsagetti, the, what was the one that was like the roll?
Sam says it's strawberry and tamarind. Are you getting any strawberry in there? I don't think I got any strawberry when I ate those.
Not really, but it could be overpowered by the...
The tamarind. It's a strong flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicans like super strong flavors, like Takis.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy and sweet, just like I like them.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
I'm glad that you like it. I thought you were going to be more turned off by the packaging. How, like, it looks like it came out of a meth lab.
The packaging is a bit odd. Yeah.
I mean, there's no package... Like, there's no... fucking logo, color, anything. It's mm-hmm. literally a plastic spoon.
Yeah, like if I were trick-or-treating and someone put that in my bag, yeah. like my parents wouldn't You're let gonna me touch that.
For yeah. sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take over the show, Bobby. Very bumpy, says. Valve drops $8 million and 200 employees at your doorstep. One morning, and told you to make a dream game. Describe it in detail, and what would it be?
So we always get asked what kind of game we would make, but this
is so specific.
This one is specific. This $8 million and 200 employees. I think
TF3. Done deal.
TF3? What does that even look like, though?
Exactly, dude. You get to have your creative input.
TF2 has just been evolving over the years.
Do you remember TF2, the fake, not fake, but their first idea of TF2, when there was a few screenshots and it would look more realistic, it looked more like TFC before they went to the whole
cartoony
way? Yeah. Do you remember that? I might go something more that route, like more realistic looking, but still crazy antic. More like TFC. I thought TFC was better than TF2 in a lot of ways. Or maybe it was just where I was in my life. But
TFC had grenades.
Yeah.
There was much more complexity to it. TF2 was a dumbing down of some things.
For sure. Because
they had their own specific type. I played a lot of Engie. They had that grenade that blew up ammunition. So if somebody had been carrying a lot of ammunition or there was a pack on the ground, it caused a bigger explosion. I thought that was a great mechanic.
Yeah. But you did get a lot of spam craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just had to run through a hole until you got through the hole because there's so much spam, grenade spam. Mm-hmm. But you just got to live through it. Like it's just a luck thing.
Yeah. So I'm really curious, like what do AAA games cost? Because I feel like it is more than $8 million. Although 200 employees is a lot of... That's a lot of employees.
Don't get bogged down by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm just thinking like the size of the game here. I would make... Oh, God, I don't know. We got some good answers in chat, though. Portal 3 with VR. I would make... Cause
that
I
would make people throw up all over their shoes, dude.
I would make a Star Wars game that would never get made, man. I would make... I don't know. I've already talked about how I would make the Star Wars turn-based tactical
game. Right. But now you have Valve behind you. You're not going to go with Valve? Really?
Well, what is Valve? I mean, they're the ones giving me the
money. Stick with what they're good at, like the things they've already made. Shit, I'd pay fucking $8 million just to peek behind the curtain and see what they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have $8 million. That's why I don't have $8 million, because I would spend it on some stupid-ass shit like that.
How much do you think Artifact costs to make?
Who knows? Not much. Mm. A few million. $1-2 million.
All right, well, I'm just going to go with the Star Wars tactical turn-based game, AAA. I'm talking like Gears Tactics, but Star Wars.
Man, you should really play that game, dude. It's awesome.
Gears Tactics?
Yeah. It's really good.
I know I'd love it. I've played so many tactical turn-based lately, though.
But this is fucking like, this is not your dad's tactical turn-based.
It's free on Xbox, right? Game Pass?
Yeah. Pay the $5
one of these days.
All right.
Next question.
Make a list of the games you want to play that are on there, and then, you know, make sure you get to them. Are you guys considering buying a PS5 or Xbox Series X? No.
This is from Atrocious, by the way.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, not at all. Okay, so thoughts on the PS5, just the look of it, because this seems like a wild jump from what
I like it.
They used to look like.
Yeah, it's going futuristic, a little Apple-y, I guess, a little bit. People say it looks like a router. I think it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like the controller. I think the controller is like one of the best parts of it.
It looks like a DVD player from 2005.
Well, it looks shitty when it's laying down, but I think in its tower look, it looks really cool.
Standing up.
Yeah. And then if you turn it and you just see the top part, go back. Or there it is right there, Bobby. Down one. There you go. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, that looks better right there.
Yeah, for sure. If you're not looking at it from its side profile.
Yeah, I mean, and all that is venting right there in the between the black and the white. Like, that's all vents for cooling. Yeah, the controller. First of all, white gets really dirty, dude. Your grimy hands all over that controller. are just getting dirty real quick.
Sure. What are my grimy hands? Jerk.
The grimy hands of gamers.
Just oh, gotcha.
Cheeto dust all over that.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, dude, not interested at all.
Yeah. I mean, Last of Us 2, that looks awesome. It's on the PS4, but I'll do what I did with The Last of Us. I'll watch the YouTube cut.
There's always some games you're going to miss out on, but if I were to buy any console, it'd be a Switch.
Yeah, it's the shit. Warconius, would you ever consider transitioning from internet porn to erotic gaming? No, it's fucking terrible. And just like you said, you'd have to play with one hand. It doesn't make any sense. There's no way. I don't think a game could ever get me off. I'll challenge you guys to send me a game that gets me off. It's not going to happen.
Wow.
I just signed up for free porn, Bobby.
Wow. Okay.
Also from Marconius, in a world where all major publishers have a launcher, Microsoft is pushing a game subscription, and Epic is giving away games, Steam is stronger than ever. Do you agree? What's the future of Steam? How do you take the dominance further? Is it VR? It's a lot of questions. If you were to ask me 2 years ago, I would have said Steam is going to get swallowed up and spit out, because it seemed like they were making no decisions. They weren't forwarding anything, while everybody made all these other ones, and I was like, oh yeah, it's over for them. And then they started making a whole lot of right decisions, and it's almost like they let everybody jump ahead, saw the errors that they made, and then it's just chugging along slowly but surely. It's the tortoise and the hare, it seems like. They never make quick decisions. I think a lot of thought goes behind everything that they do. That's one of the things they can afford by being a private company. They don't have shareholders that they have to make happy every quarter. And that might be that single thing might be what makes them the chip that wins them the game. I think they are stronger than ever, because mm-hmm. you see that these guys that went out and made their own things are going back to Steam. EA games, I think a whole bunch of them just came back to Steam last week or the week before, and they're all on sale. So yeah.
And they have that upcoming, what do they call their subscription service?
EA? Premier?
Access.
Access.
They've got that version of Origin Access that's going to be on Steam as well.
This just popped into my head, and Steam's never going to do this, but if they had a subscription game, but you only picked 4 or 5 games that you wanted on that subscription, it'd be good, because the developers would get direct money, they would get money, and then yeah, it would work out for everybody. But anyway, they're doing good. The future, really, being a private company, I think, gives them a lot of advantages, man. They don't feel the pressure that everybody else does, and they're sitting on so much money. I'm sure a ton of money went into Half-Life Alyx, but
they got money to burn.
I mean,
Everyone's
Do you think they have
asking,
Epic money?
Probably. I don't know.
Fortnite is so huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? But I feel like for the last 6 years, people have been asking, like, is VR the future? Is VR the future? And I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to be. If it was going to be, it would have happened by now. Like, people who like it have got it, but it's still kind of niche. I don't know. I don't think it's VR. I've always said, like, Steam could really do a lot more in the whole social area. Like, they could have a social media platform on Steam. They could have their own separate Steam app that was just social media, and make that a little more like a gaming-centric type social media, which they kind of do, but it's not... It's kind of buried within all the other stuff that they have, and it's a little cumbersome to, like, get to it. I don't know. I feel like they could really capitalize on that, because everybody has it. Anyone who's a PC gamer has a Steam account.
Yeah. It's tricky, though. I mean, you start getting into, like, some weird territory with what you let people post and don't post and stuff like that. I mean, Facebook is coming under fire. Twitter's coming under fire. It's a tricky space to get into.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that's with ads, though. That's all our questions.
That's it.
Wow.
And I think, Bobby, is this your favorite one so far? You fucking devoured that thing, dude.
Well, there's not much to it, but,
it's ease of use. It already comes on a spoon.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, no, I'd say I'd say it probably is.
Wow.
Because the Salsagetti was probably the forerunner before, but that one, you know, it's a little, you got to prepare it. It's kind of awkward to eat. They give you a little fork, but this one's a little simpler.
This one's just unwrap and stick it in your mouth, as opposed to like some people that like to wrap it up before they stick it in the mouth.
But yikes. All right. What are we playing next week?
Hopefully Torchlight works next week. I think in a week they'll get the server issues figured out.
And the game came out on the 13th, right? What's today? It did come out on the 13th. Today is the 14th.
Is it really?
Yeah. Usually they have that. Remember Crucible had technical issues at launch. Like Warcraft 3, technical issues at
usually
launch.
Usually a few days.
Usually two, like one day or like two. So yeah, I think they'll have that cleared up pretty soon.
I hope so. It has potential. I wasn't blown away, but you know, it's Torchlight and I love Torchlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am probably... I don't know, man. I'm probably going to play some more Stronghold games because what I wanted to do last time was not just play Stronghold Crusader 2, but kind of test out all the different Stronghold games. And I think I may do that this week. If that doesn't happen, then probably what were the ones?
Erase your memory and play Oberdin again?
No. There were a bunch of games that we talked about earlier in the show. So Unfortunate Spaceman, free-to-play game. I'll probably check that out. Also, Rock of Ages 3 has their beta is now open. There's a demo you can download on Steam and play for free. So Rock of Ages 3, Make and Break. I'll probably check that out. Yeah, there's a couple of things.
I've been playing a little bit of Brawlhalla. I'll probably talk about, we talked about that 5 years ago when it came out, but it's come a long way. They're getting IPs from all different places. Like it's funny that an indie game is getting like big time IPs, dude, and putting it in the game. So, we'll talk about, maybe I'll talk about that. And man, I've been watching so much media on, I don't know why it just, you get into this rabbit hole, but Mortal Kombat stuff, I am just gobbling it up right now, man. Do you know it's been the same developer from 1 all the way up to 11, dude? The same, what's his name? I forget his name, but I've been watching interviews with him.
The same guy?
Same guy. Okay. Yeah. And he, dude, I saw this 168 rapid fire question. It was just a great interview, and he's just talking about the history and how, why this character does this and that. It was great, man. Somebody has been there since the beginning. And then just watching a lot of the screenshots from it, some of the play from Mortal Kombat 11, I just want to play it through the story. I think I want to do what I did with Marvel vs. Kombat Infinite. I just want to go play it on easy because I suck these days. I'm old. And just play for the story. I don't know how much you can get it for right now. Maybe GOG has a sale, but I would love to play Mortal Kombat 11.
I don't know if they carry those games. I'd be surprised if they do.
Yeah, it's pricey, though.
They do have for $1.49. GOG is having a sale right now, by the way. But for $1.49, you can get Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 for the PC if you're down with the old stuff.
They were saying, so just a couple like little things that came out of that. So Sonya wasn't originally in the game. They put out the game with 6 characters. It was a gigantic hit. They're like, oh shit, we need more content like right away. This is 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so they got an actress and they put a girl in there or whatever. And that's how she put in there. But Shang Tsung, they didn't have enough memory on their chips, on their arcade chips, to have all these different characters. So the reason Shang Tsung could turn into everybody else is because they didn't have any more memory to give him his own moves. And so that's why, and to this day, that's how he turned into people. His whole... all of his backstory came from...
based off necessity.
Yeah, exactly. Technical necessity.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Interesting.
Yep. Oh, and he said... they said, when's the last time that you had a meeting about a movie? And he said, 5 months ago.
Oh, yeah. That new one's coming out soon.
Is there?
Yeah. They were able to finish principal photography, and they shot in Australia.
I don't know if I knew this. Anyway.
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be pretty good. Remember, we've talked about it. It's going to be rated R.
And that interview was from like when 2011 hadn't come out. I mean, Mortal Kombat 11 hadn't come out yet. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's probably about that. Yeah, yep. It's going to have fatalities. It's going to be rated R. It's under the studio that's involved with, I want to say Taika Waititi, but I'm not 100% sure with on that. But
be awesome.
Yeah, I think it is. But yeah, it's looking good. Things are lined up. High hopes.
Noob Saibot, is that scary? So that's his name backwards, I think. His name is Tobias Boone. I think that's his name. Or it's a mix of two of the original devs. Hmm. Anyway, speaking for Bobby and myself, Noob Boob. Ha! See what I did there?
Clever. Didn't realize this. Grifflands is on Steam now.
Yeah.
$12.74, man. Pick that up. God, I gotta check on that game again. So good.